This is Average Advice. I'm Zar.
And I'm Tim. Average guys, average stories, average advice.
Welcome to season two, where new and exciting things are on the way.
Stay tuned and stay average.
Do you think we overpromised?
Nah. Woo! Back again.
Never overpromising.
We are back again for episode 18 of season two of Average Advice. Welcome, everybody.
I'm glad that you actually remembered the number this time.
Oh, I had to double check. I double checked.
You always ask me, and I never know. So
yeah, I double checked it before the episode started because I was naming
18. We've gone through almost two thirds of the way through, Timmy.
Almost done. We've only got 12 more episodes.
Waited till 18 to get me in, though.
Yeah. Well, look, it's not our fault, Sam. All right. Now we haven't introduced our guest yet, but he keeps jumping in anyway. But it's all right. It's all right. Our friend Sam Warren from school. How are you, mate?
Well. Friend is a bit of a weird term. I don't know if we'd use that word.
Strong acquaintance. Maybe strong acquaintance.
Weak acquaintance, maybe. Maybe weak.
Okay. Yeah. Barely holding it together, but we have some sort of history.
We met him yesterday. We're like, come on the podcast.
Mate, it's just go.
I remembered one of their names.
Which one was it?
Yeah, it was Zar, right?
No comment, whoever you are.
See, I just wanted you on because I want to take your hair and put it on my head. I feel I want it so bad.
I will not allow you to do that. Damn, you can take my life before you can take my hair,
mate. Do you know the last time I had a fringe? It was fucking years ago, man. Yeah. I miss my fringe. You know, honestly, when you start losing your hair like early days, I swear every guy goes through the same sort of steps. It's similar to the denial steps and everything, because at first you're like, nah, I'm not losing my hair, I'm fine, even though everyone around you is noticing it, but they're like, don't want to say it yet because, you know, it's like upsetting. I remember when I found out that I was losing my hair, I went to go to a hairdresser, and I was like, because I was trying to grow it out, and I was like, yeah, my plan is to grow it out, can you just like cut the dead ends out just so I can grow this hair out? And as she was cutting my hair, she was just like, so you want to grow this hair out, huh? And I'm like, yeah, that's the plan. She's like, it's a bit thinning. And she was like tippy-toeing around it. And then I still didn't get it until, yeah, I grew it out. And it was just like staying up the whole time because it was too light.
Yeah, can I jump in with the first bit of average advice?
Go for it.
Get better genetics.
Oh, dude. Mate. That's
it's that easy to.
That's literally my entire life. Like, my genetics are bullshit. I've said
and
it.
And all our listeners listening, if you're bald, you heard Sam.
Just be better.
Get better fucking genetics.
Yeah, just be better. Man, I don't understand why you're not better at things. Foresight.
So, Sam, you said you'd listen to a few episodes, or maybe one. Well, the one with Ross.
This season.
What do you think of the show so far? And you can be cheeky if you want, but then you got to give us your real average opinion.
Oof. It is.
I want your above average opinion.
You've got the wrong guy on if you want above average opinion. I can only offer you the most average opinion, and I'm enjoying it so far. I don't know how much I can date this season from when this is recorded, but
that's fine. Neither can we, to be honest.
So far from what I've seen of season two, I've enjoyed it. Good guests.
Oh, good
questions.
Did you listen to any of season one at all?
I made it about halfway through season one before life got busy, and I was like,
mate, that's fine, mate. Like, I love when we ask that people, because people always give us a reason why they haven't listened to it yet. We're like, man, that's fine.
Yeah, my main like, reason was it was shit. That's why I stopped listening.
Sam, so like, I feel like of all our guests, like, you're probably in like the higher end of episodes listened. Mm-hmm. Some of our guests are just like, I've never listened to a single episode of your show.
Which,
you're like,
it's like a flip of the coin, though, because it's like, people haven't listened, but they're still willing to come on just because they love us. You know what I mean? So it's just like, yes, you're a douche because you haven't listened and it kind of hurts. But at the same time, thanks for coming on and trusting that this is going to be good anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I'm only coming here for the fame.
Yeah, dude, mate. You've come to the correct podcast, mate. Our whole 16 listeners are going to go straight to your Instagram and like you.
Oh, fuck. Oh, wait, man. I'm one of 16 of your listeners?
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. At least. Mate, I don't know. Maybe the retention is probably going down as we go. We're only 5 minutes into this episode.
They've heard my voice and they're like fucking phoning out.
So I was trying to think of some questions because we haven't caught up in. It's so weird because Sam, you literally disappeared when we left school, right? So did you leave in year 12 or just after year 12?
I left after year 12. I went to uni at UNSW. Sydney, right? So I bounced out of Canberra real quick, fast. Mm. And yeah, haven't heard too much from you guys.
I'm pretty sure you were like one of the first people to sort of move away. It was so weird because our friendship group was so tight after school. And then you sort of left. But then you would come back every sort of 6 months or so and it would act like it hadn't even left.
Yeah, well, I originally came from Sydney, so...
You just decided to go back. It was a lot easier.
Headed back home. You've come to Sydney a few times. I mean,
yeah,
you know the appeal of the big city.
Well,
are you guys gonna hang out now?
Well, you're in the Shire. I mean, last time I was in the city, I remember we caught up. I forgot about that, actually. We went and had some beers last time I lived here, but that was four years ago. That was a long time.
That was a long time. I remember when you first moved and you were heaps excited, like at the nightlife, and then I saw you near the end before you went back to Canberra, and you're like, I'm too fucking old for this shit. I'm going back.
Yeah, dude. Now it's the same. It's like people will try to like ask me to go out and shit. I'm like, you mean to a bar, right? I'm not going to no club. Like, I have to be very, very drunk to actually enjoy like a club. But there's like, when in Newtown where I live, it's great because there's like all these bars, but like they're like, there's real big nightlife scene at night still. So they like sort of turn into clubs. And there's this one, obviously you guys are from Canberra, so you guys know the Mooseheads. It's similar to Mooseheads, but less dirty, less like dingy, but still the same vibe where it's sort of like a dark clubby bar sort of thing. So Newtown is my kind of jam, even though I don't go anywhere near it on a Friday or Saturday night, even though I'm like right in the center, because it's just 12 Central, 12 everywhere. Mm.
And it's so funny. You think of like when you start going out, you're 18. It's like there's such an appeal to like going out and get really fucked up. And it's like, you know, everyone's just really drunk and you're dancing. And it's just like when you're 18, you're like, oh, yeah, fuck.
What's so new then too? Like, I think because we've said this multiple times on the podcast, we're just like the new and exciting is what people crave, I think. So that's why when you like, you start drinking, I mean, of completely not all underage, but when you start drinking, it's all new and you're excited to hang out with your friends, go to parties and stuff. And then when you turn 18, all the parties sort of just disappear and everyone just sort of goes out. And then that happens for like a couple of years. And I think it's just the normal progression of life is you enjoy partying until about 20, 25. And then you're like, fuck, my feet hurt. My back hurts. I just want to sleep. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Maybe my hairline has just turned me into a 50-year-old.
Yeah, it happened real quick. Last time I talked to you, you weren't a 50-year-old and you've aged like 30 years in like 2 years.
In maturity or in looks?
I am not going to answer looks. That.
Fuck off, Zyra. Fuck off. Just because you're in Canberra, man, I'll come to your house. I'll fucking come to your house.
Yeah, well, you know, Sam.
Yes.
So, I know you were doing maths. You were a maths whiz, is from what I remember. Are you working in some sort of maths field now? Or did you just go, oh, fuck my degree, I'm doing something
pretty
else?
Pretty sure last time I was up here, you were working for, I want to see if I can guess. Were you working at like a BP?
No. Damn. I don't actually remember what I was doing when you're here.
That's right. You were selling the big issue. I remember that.
Okay. You're really just guessing at this point. No, I actually got into uni for like a double bachelor in actuarial studies and advanced mathematics. And within one semester in, I just fucking bombed out. Like,
and wanted to kill yourself? Yeah.
Yeah.
That
I was
doesn't
like,
sound fun.
At college, I was like, I'm good at maths. And then I got into like the university degree where people who are actually good at maths get in. And I just got absolutely steamrolled.
So
I was like, just like
doing calculus for everything, basically.
Yeah, I'm like, so I changed my major to marketing and psychology.
Smart. Marketing is actually a really interesting degree. Like when I was doing journalism, there was a little bit of marketing in there and just sort of learning how like the media works. It's so interesting to me. It's gross how the media works, but it's interesting.
Yeah, after I finished the degree, I was like, no, marketing, not for me. No, I'm not that type of person. So I haven't really used that part of my degree.
So what are you doing for work now then?
So as I guess in psychology, I got work as a psychosocial disability support worker. So it's working directly with people with a lot of...
That sounds very noble.
Yeah, psychosocial. Is that like just... I don't know. I'm pretty sure
that's a Slipknot song.
It is. It is a Slipknot song.
Yeah. So you play for Slipknot now. Is that what you're saying?
Is that where the hair comes from? So What exactly does your job entail?
So I guess it's working with people with psychosocial disabilities, a lot of people with like mental health issues, disorders, diagnosis, stuff like that, to help them engage with their community and help them engage with like each other really and be more actively participate in their life, because a lot of these
sort of
people
help them socialize with other people, basically.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. Obviously,
I didn't agree to have such an honorable man on the show, Tim. I don't know about this. Making us look bad.
Every single episode where our guests are getting better and better. Like, remember last episode we had someone that was like, you know, she was like a friend.
It's getting better and better, dude.
So you don't have a friend here. You have an average.
We said this at the beginning. You're barely an acquaintance.
Sorry, you're going to have to repeat your name again, man. I don't know who you are.
Mate, I'm average and he's advice.
Oh, I love advice.
Yeah.
I remember in school, Sam, where, because I was like, at the start of year 11, I was trying to find my new like clique, my new group of friends.
I feel that.
And I was still like, but I'd come from high school with a lot of people that went to our college. Mm. And I was like, okay, well, who do I want to hang out with? Who do I want to be in with now? So I started hanging out with the crew that we ended up with. And I remember, I'm not sure who you were originally friends with, but you were just suddenly rocking up to that crew. And I was like, I don't know who this guy is. And I just remember vividly one day, we're all just like in this group conversation. You and I had never spoken. And you just like made some joke, and I looked at you, and like you looked so awkward when you made the joke. I think you were just trying to like see what hit.
Where's the line?
Like, that sounds like me still.
You're like,
just
throw
the baits out.
Yeah. Throw a joke out there, see if it lands. And then you're just like, and I remember looking at you and I pissed myself. I was like, that was funny. Who the fuck's this guy? The rest is history.
One of my favorite memories. I was trying to think. I was like, what's a funny school memory I have of Warren? And this one was the first. I actually forgot that I forgot about this. So remember, there was one party that, because every single party we went to, you were like notorious because you were always the sober one. And then we went to one party. I think it was Annie Richardson's party, and you just pretended to get hammered, and you were just drinking water the entire time. And I don't remember, because I was sort of, I'm pretty sure I was blind drunk at the time.
I would guarantee you were.
Yeah. So then the next day, I remember everyone coming up to me like, dude, did you see how fucking wasted Warren got last night? He was so hammered. And like, I had six people coming up to me and telling me that. I'm like, man, I don't remember him getting that drunk, but I was pretty hammered.
And pretty sure you fooled everyone.
Yeah, and then you came up to me before you came out and you're like, dude, I was completely sober last night. And I just started losing my shit because I was just like, how did you fool the entire party to that you were drunk?
My favorite part about that was, it was like, there was a point where I was like pretending to be drunk. So I was like, I'm just going to pretend to be passed out on the lawn. And someone was like, Sam's really drunk. We need to get him a glass of water. So they bought me a glass of water and I was lying there like perfectly sober. And I was like, you know what? Even though I'm sober, I could really go for a drink. I really appreciate this. But I was like, I got to pretend to still be drunk. So I tried to drink it like whilst I'm lying down. And I just started choking on water and just like spit it up over me. And someone was just like, oh, I think Sam just threw up on himself. And I just started cracking up laughing. And like four people looking on the outside, I was just like lying on the ground, pissed out drunk, vomited on myself and cracked up laughing. It's like, I just really sold it unintentionally with that one.
Yeah, dude. Dude, it was actually one of the funniest things because it was a couple of hours before it sort of came out, before you told me that you were sober, and everyone was telling me, I'm like, man, I'm so annoyed that I missed it. I was so hammered. I was so angry because I was like excited to see what drunk Sam was like. I'm pretty sure I've seen it now. I'm pretty sure you came out with me for my 18th.
I am a good Christian boy. I've never had a drink in my life.
I fucking believe that, mate. You can't be a good Christian boy with that kind of hair, mate. All right, that's the hair of the devil right there.
That's the hair of Satan.
That's the hair of the devil. You basically have a pentagram on your forehead.
Oh.
No. That was the... Oh.
No, like, I can put the hair down. It's not a pentagram now.
It's not a pentagram, okay.
I can't see your video at the moment, so
yeah,
I'm
your internet's all shitty, so we can't actually see
it's
it live.
It's so wobbly jobbly. Our friend from America had better internet than you. There was no issues.
To be fair, it's anyone that's in Sydney that we found has has really bad internet because Kyle was really shitty internet too. Oh,
not as bad as Lucky Parachute guys.
Yeah, they were real bad internet.
Fuck Kyle.
Yeah, fuck Kyle.
He pisses me off.
What did Kyle do?
Oh, whatever he did, he deserves to be angry. Get angry at.
Fucking Kyle, dude.
Fucking Kyle.
Dude, it's funny that you say that because it was sort of an inside joke when we had this sort of gaming group and we'd all go on and play Minecraft for ages. And this is when I was living with Lawton. And Lawton is the king of banter when it comes to Minecraft. So whenever he would go on, like Kyle would go in and just raid his base and just fuck his shit up. So he made this ongoing joke of just whenever anyone said anything, he'd just like, fuck you, Kyle. So then like now randomly I would go on and join the chat and then Kyle would start speaking. I'd be like, all of them would just be like, shut the fuck up, Kyle. So when you said that, I actually lolled really hard.
You know, Sam's like communicate telepathically. That's how I knew.
That would actually make sense because I'm pretty sure all you Sams have the same kind of humor.
Yeah, we're just the same.
Incredibly immature.
Oh. Oh.
To all our listeners, Sam doesn't actually know Kyle, who we add on like a three or four.
No, I do, and I dislike him.
So if anyone thought there was like some in-joke about Sam and Kyle hating each other, Sam's just being a funny bloke.
Sam's just being a douchebag, as he always is. This is how he is. He just comes up and just starts trying to arc up on everyone. God
don't say
it.
That, so Sam, man.
Sam, was there any of the episodes in particular that you resonated with that or anything we talked about that you were
Out.
Oh, yeah.
Call him out. Tell me something specifically in the episode.
Prove that you listened. Prove that you listened.
Dude, I barely even remember our episodes and I was there.
Look, you two were there. You talked about topics. Sometimes there were guests.
Man, that was such
He has listened.
It was average. Whoa, I don't know what more I can say to prove that I've listened.
Mate, that was actually pretty spot on. Like, I'm surprised. If you haven't listened, that was a good fucking guess. Not going to lie. So, I did want to know. So, as you said earlier, you when you moved back to Sydney, you were moving like back home. So, how long were you in Canberra for? You were just there for school?
Literally college.
Like, wow, so just 2 years.
Yeah, first day there, first day of college, knew absolutely no one. And then pretty much as soon as it ended, as soon as I was offered for uni in Sydney, I was out again.
Did you just move back home with your parents?
No, my parents were in Canberra. Okay. So I moved back in with my siblings in Sydney.
I have lived with my siblings, but I'm pretty sure we would all kill each other if we moved in with each other now.
Yeah.
It's not an option anymore, I don't think.
Definitely not something you can do for too long, but it did the job, saved money while I was at uni.
Oh, 100%. Look, I would love to be able to have a really tight friendship with my siblings, but I mean, sometimes it's hard to even go to dinner with them without murdering them, you know? And I'm sure that's the same as me. I'm sure they feel the same. Mr. Zariel over there, Mr. Older of all of his siblings, doesn't even have to deal with that. He's going to have to...
Yeah, my siblings love me. I'm the cool brother.
Yeah, I don't know why. If you walked in with that Mo as my brother, I'd be like, mate, the fuck are you doing?
Hey, you been talking about my mustache?
That's actually not bad.
Is like 4 days as well. Like, there's just my Mo grows fucking crazy, and then everywhere else, nada.
Don't grow anywhere. So you don't even shave that. Mm-hmm. Wow, it's so weird how some guys just get massive beards really easily.
It does grow, but it's like not really very crappy. Noticeable. It's like, thin and
bum fluff.
Thin and white. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've been growing this for like 2 years, but obviously I keep trimming it down. Yeah, yeah. It's funny, right? It's a piece of shit. But then there's some people that literally wake up with just like this massive fucking beard. And you're like...
They were born with a beard.
And you're like, how? How does it work? I just don't get it.
And it sucks. And it sucks when they're girls too. You're like... Even they can grow.
Mate, if I ever saw a girl with a bit better beard than me, I don't think I'd be able to like handle it ego wise. Honestly, I think I'd lose my shit. I'd be like, mate, if there's guys, I can handle guys, but if I see a girl with a better beard than me, I'm gonna flip it.
Well, I mean, at least you have a better sculpt than most girls, so you can have that.
Well, I don't know. I've got my sculpt is when I actually started getting bald. When I was bald the first time, I looked really really sick because it was the first time that. The skin there had been exposed to the sun, so it was all just pure white. So it was really bad the first time. I looked actually really unwell. And then it grew out again. I let it grow out. And then I shaved it off again after I had a little bit of a beard, so it looked a little bit weird, less weird. And it looked all right, but now I would randomly look at it and I'd have like random new freckles on my head because it's getting direct sunlight now.
Have you been sunburned on the top of your head?
Yeah, multiple times. Like now it's really bad too because it's like...
So you got to full get sunburn, sunblock like up.
No, I just wear a hat. I just wear a hat. Unless I'm actually swimming, I'll just wear a hat. So there's 9 times out of 10 when I leave the house, I'll put a hat on. And then when I don't put a hat on, I'll immediately regret it because you can like, you know, when you're like driving, right? And you get like sunburn tan on your arm because it's just sitting in the sun the entire time. That's me, but with the top of my head. And it's just, there's no way to hide that. Like, how do you, besides wearing a hat, how do you avoid the sun on the top of your head?
Wear one of those like burka things.
Oh, parasols, surely. You would look good under a parasol.
Could you imagine if like me with my burly, bulky figure just wore a full burka? Like, people would think I'm the most racist motherfucker. I'd be like, all right, Pauline Hanson.
You'd just be like, I'm Muslim, dude. What do you mean?
I'm not sure if that's better or worse.
Well, they'd be racist for doubting you.
I'm religionist.
Do you remember when Pauline Hanson wore a burqa in the middle of Parliament?
Yeah, but Pauline Hanson's a nut job.
She is a crazy person. She's a fucking insane person.
And if she's listening, good.
Dude, if Pauline Hanson's listening to our podcast, my mind's going to explode. What was that?
Yeah, viewer 16, Pauline Hanson.
She's number 16.
I was listening to, you know, like the Senate estimates.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like the
real talk on average advice.
I'm not going to go too deep. But yeah, senators will like ask questions to like members of parliament about particular topics. And Malcolm Roberts, old Roberts came on.
That's the guy that had the argument with Brian Cox, right? Yeah, about climate change.
Yeah, and he's published books on that climate change isn't real.
That guy's a moron.
And he's just so strong in his convictions that are so against
everything, science.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just like...
It blows my mind, those kind of people where it's just like they either believe they drank their own Kool-Aid, right? Like they believe what they're preaching, or they've just been paid so much by the lobbyists that they just have to believe it. They have to keep saying it. And it's just it's a turning point. You never know what it is. Like, cause I know whenever ScoMo would voice it, you could tell that he was being paid. In my opinion, whenever he would speak up, did Lawton leave? Sam, are you still here?
Lawton.
Sorry, not so. Wham. Ah, fuck. The other Sam.
Oh.
There we go. Did you jump out?
I disconnected. Oh, so weird. Usually my internet's pretty good on like my main computer, but I have to use my laptop because it's the only one with like a camera.
Camera, yeah. Well, so that was weird because it was just like halfway through my story, it just popped up saying, Sam is waiting in the lobby, but you were still in the studio. So I was like, is there a new Sam?
He hadn't said anything for a while, and I was like, I feel like we should get his opinion on this. And
I was hoping you would jump in. Where did you last hear?
You were talking about like a
Malcolm Roberts
survey esque thing.
A survey esque. Man, that was a long time ago. But so we'll talk about how when like politicians and stuff, when they say like. For instance, Malcolm Roberts, who's so against climate change and stuff, and he's just like, he's so convincing and so wrong, but like he says it so proudly, and it just doesn't make sense to me. So they either believe they're Kool-Aid, they believe what they're lying about so inherently that they're idiots, or they're being paid so much by the lobbyists that they have to sound convincing, and it's so hard to determine which one it is. So like, because it just blows my mind when people say, I don't believe in climate change. And then there's like a scientist right next to him saying, what do you mean? Like he's like in that time where obviously Malcolm and Brian Cox got in that argument, he's just like, I've got the graph. Like, I'll show you the graph. It shows you right here. Like,
yeah.
And they just ignore information. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I don't think the evidence is really there for climate change. So I think you're a bit jumping to conclusions.
Maybe we should kick him back out into the lobby. Like,
it's just like something that I've learned from doing science in uni, and just
people be dumb.
just, you know, listening to a lot of YouTube videos and reading up on thing about debates about particular topics around the world is that a lot of people don't know how to interpret, like they don't have a logical process to interpreting facts. Like they will, if there's like ego involved, if they believe something so strongly that believing the contrary will like change their life, it change will change their how hobby. They view the world. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, it's called cognitive dissonance. I think I've told before, but basically people can create arguments or like logical fallacies, like irrational thoughts, irrational reasons to believe or to like have these views. And when they try to explain it, you go, that makes no sense. But to them, they can't not accept it.
Yeah.
And it's like,
well, it's the same. It's the same sort of argument when obviously scientists say the world is 4.5 billion years old, and then there's religion people say it's only 40,000 years old, or whatever it is. So it's the same. It's just like, how are you coming to that? Because they believe in the Bible and their teaching so much, they ignore all those other facts, even though they've got facts to prove it. Like,
have we still got Sam here?
Sam's there.
I'm here.
He's still there. Yeah. He's still here.
You need to jump in more, man. Me and Tim will just keep talking if you don't say things. You got to jump in. What have you been doing? What's your opinion? You're just like Ross all over again.
Oh, no, don't put me at that level, man. Come on. I don't want to be a Ross.
Who would? No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, I guess circling back to what Tim initially said about like, do people actually believe this or are they just getting paid off? I think that ties into cognitive dissonance well, where if you pay someone off enough, they're going to justify why they believe it exists.
And it's sort of the same as mob mentality too, because usually, especially with these days with social media, it's really easy to surround yourself around people that believe the same things as you. And it's just yes men. Like, if you believe something that's wrong, but you're in a room of 100 people that also believe the wrong thing, you're going to start believing you're right. Even if you're wrong, if 100 people are around you backing your idea, of course you're going to start thinking that you're right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? This reminds me of a story back when I worked at Capital Pathology.
Ooh, story time.
You like this, Sam? Yeah, story time.
Oh, yeah. I hope someone gets sick. Pathology, yeah.
Actually, it wasn't me. It wasn't even me. It was Yasmin. She told me this story when she was working in the service center, the call center at Capital, where the doctors call up and get results, patients chase up results and stuff. Basically, this was during the like lockdown sort of period where you needed to get like PCR tests to confirm if you were negative, if you wanted to travel.
This was back in the early days of COVID.
No, this was like after lockdown where you could start traveling again. So it was like right after that period. It was like
after maybe the first 4 months.
Like end of last year, start of this year sort of period. Yeah. So people would call up to get their PCR results for COVID, obviously, to see if they were positive. And this one lady called up, her daughter had got the result, and it said, I'm not sure whether it said negative or positive, but basically the mother called us up saying, oh, I want you to run the test 10 more times, because she didn't believe that like the PCR was accurate.
10 times.
Or something like that. I'm pretty sure that Capital runs the test two or three times. And if they get the same result, they go, yeah, well, we've got it three times.
Well, wasn't it Einstein that said, if you do the same thing multiple times and expect a different result, you're a moron or something like that. I'm not sure.
But she basically was just like called up Capital Pathology and was like, this test is inaccurate. I don't believe the results. I want you to do it like 10 more times and then spouted all this nonsense about how the tests weren't accurate. And I was like, well, you know, it's like you'd think that a pathology science lab would adopt the best approach to testing for disease. They're not just going
to... I'm trying to think, why would they think that it would be inaccurate? Like,
because she's an idiot.
But like, yeah, but even idiots have to have some sort of logic to get to that point. You know what I mean? Like, to get to their reasoning.
She probably believed in the misinformation that's spreading all across the internet right now. You know, all the misinformation about the bloody pandemic.
Do you believe in vaccines, Sam?
How can you believe in them?
There's no evidence that they're no evidence that they're real.
Maybe if you got the vaccine, you could connect to your own personal 5G network and you'd have better internet.
Oh yeah. See through the fourth fucking dimension.
I loved all those things where just like when they brought up the 5G, they're like, oh my God, this is going to give me cancer and autism. You're like, that's not how autism works.
Everyone, everything gives you autism, doesn't it?
Yep.
No, it's the vaccines, man. It's the vaccines. Yeah, no, if we keep saying this, even though we are definitely joking, people, we're going to get like flagged on fucking Spotify that says COVID misinformation if we keep going.
Okay, well, vaccine's good.
Vaccines be good. Yeah. Do the vaccine.
COVID be bad.
COVID be bad.
So, Sam,
yep.
What else have you been doing? Like, apart from work and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen you
what
in
do
like
you do
4
with
years.
Yourself? Yeah.
Yeah, I've involved myself quite a bit in like board games and D&D and stuff like nice. That. That's how I pass my spare time these days.
Do you play or do you DM?
I mostly play. I have DM before, but
Dungeon Master for people that have never played D&D.
Yeah, for Dungeons all of us, Dragons. All of our non-nerd listeners.
How many are they of the, like, 3, 4?
Oh, mate, who knows? Like, as we speak...
Probably the majority of them.
As we speak, we're getting to our peak of listeners of exactly 20 listeners.
So I do want to talk about D&D, but I'm not sure if Tim will want to talk about it.
We can do it. We can talk about D&D for a bit until I get bored.
That's advice with Sam and Zar. Like,
for anyone that... Okay, for any listeners that don't know what it is... It's role-playing games. So you take the role of a character. The Dungeon Master gives you like a scenario and like a world that you got to navigate and complete quests and missions.
I feel like people, when you say Dungeons and Dragons and you're playing Dungeons and Dragons, people automatically assume it's a board game or yeah. You're doing things. But like, because Dungeons and Dragons is so weird because it's basically all in your mind. But yeah. Also, I find that the entire game comes down to the DM. If the DM is really, really good and really, really into it, the entire game is really, really fun because everyone else will be able to get into it.
It's a mixture. It's a mixture of the DM and the players, actually. You could be the best DM in the world, but if your players aren't receptive to what you're saying, they aren't imaginative, they aren't exciting, they're just going to sit there and be boring, the game's going to suck.
Well, it's
the players make the game as well.
It's a collaborative storytelling, so it's like two ways.
It is.
Yeah, that's interesting. Wasn't it? Because when... I remember you telling me a story, Zara, of D&D when you had like a... I'm not sure if it was you or someone else was DMing, but they had like this plan of how they wanted it to go, but then they kept not doing what the DM wanted them to do. They kept making different changes and different choices. And you're like, why are you doing this? Was that you that was DMing?
Possibly. I think that probably happens to every DM. I'm sure Sam probably relates.
Any D&D player who's listening goes, Tim, that's just like an average like fucking that's Friday night for us.
So I'm running a campaign at the moment, and so I'll like read through the campaign book at the next section coming up for the session.
That's just for DMs, right? The DMs have the book.
Yeah. You read through
like
the story.
Yeah.
So you have like the scenario so you can narrate it basically. And I'll read, okay, they're going to go to this place. There's going to be this and this, there's going to be this encounter and these people. Mm-hmm. And you sort of plan in your head, you go, okay, well they're going to go here and do this. I'm going to give them this information and they're probably going to follow that and go here. Right. And you're sort of like, okay, that's going to make sense.
Sort of
and
a linear progression.
You can kind of plan ahead. But a lot of the time you'll be like, you'll give them some info like, oh, you see like an exciting, shiny rock over there. And they're just like, cool story. I want to know what's going on with this like really irrelevant thing here.
Oh, look at that tree. Isn't that a cool tree?
And it's not even written in the story. Like for instance, they're in this town and I was trying to get them to go to this particular place, but then I'm not sure who it was. Maybe Ross was like, I want to go to the closest building. And I'm like, I just had to make it up because it's like, you know,
a tavern.
And I'm like, oh, you find this really tall tower. And he's like, oh, we go inside. And I'm like,
okay,
you find a choir. Ooh, a choir. Like, I was trying to do something really, really random, but also I didn't think would be interesting. They're like, oh, we'd like to join in with the choir and sing songs. I'm like, what?
They're like, okay. It's so specific. This is going to be what we were supposed to do. This choir is the most important thing in the world now. Yeah.
Well, I suppose it comes down to like just open to interpretation of what they want. They're like, hey, I want to go to the nearest building. You're like, well, it just so happens the nearest building is exactly where I want you to go.
And it's sometimes hard because I'm my first time doing it. I've been doing it for like 2 years now, but it's my
DMing.
First time doing it.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's hard to remember that the players know nothing, basically. They know nothing about the story and what's going to happen. So sometimes I like stress myself out because I'm like, oh, if I say this, it won't make sense in the story and it won't. And then I'm like, wait, they don't know that.
Yeah.
They have no idea what is lying ahead. So I can literally like make up things in the story. And then sometimes in my head, I'm like, oh, that's not going to make sense. But then I realize I can get away with it. Like, you know, and then it's nice to like finally realize that after a while, because the first few sessions were hard.
Have you DM'd before, Sam?
I have. I haven't DM'd like a full campaign, but I've done like mini campaigns type things. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. What's stopping the players from reading the DM book? Because if they've
what would be the fun in that?
But because you know how, obviously this is very, this is not really how it goes, but you know how in Community how they have that D&D episode?
Yeah.
And peers end up just peering off and starts working against the group. Yeah. Like, all that lore and all those extra things that you can learn because of reading all these books, is that technically allowed? Are you allowed to read all the lore and everything and just know the campaigns?
I mean, there's not illegal to read the campaign books.
Yeah.
The way I see it is like, sorry if you were going to answer that, Sam, I'm sorry. The way I see it though is like, why would you do that? Like, it's like watching a TV show and watching the last episode first.
Yeah,
like you ruin the story for yourself. It's like, why would you? That's not fun. What? I feel like the fun in playing is uncovering the story and finding.
Uncovering, yeah, I'm figuring out. I suppose
you don't want to spoil it.
I suppose, yeah, not knowing the story would be ideal, but also be able to know all, like, say for instance, like hidden things, like, oh, if you go into this world or into this cave, there's this like magical amulet. You know what I mean? Like that kind of additional information would be helpful. Like, if you can learn that without actually knowing the story, would be dope.
I mean, most of the players are players, not DMs, because they're too lazy to read the books. So I think you're pretty safe to assume that they won't do extra work.
Yeah, it's true. I remember when I was playing, it was hard enough to get people to do their character sheet.
Like, yeah, that sums it up.
Fill out your character sheet, mate.
Do you have a favorite, like, class, Sam?
We're getting real nerdy in this episode, guys.
I like cleric. I like a bit of a support class.
Clerics can be really, really useful.
Yeah, man. They got a lot of tricks up their sleeve.
Last time I played, I tried to make a coup on Zariel.
Oh.
Because I was playing chaotic neutral or chaotic evil or something.
Of course
you were. And Zariel was a paladin. So he was like lawful good, right? So anything that I was just being this like douchebag, just mystical evil person, but like wasn't really evil, but I wanted to do evil things. And then Zariel kept, because he was lawful good, kept getting in my way. So I tried to,
trying to role play.
Yeah, I know. And then in my role play, when Nigel was, Opdyke was doing our DM, when everyone left, I went up to him, I'm like, all right, so I want to kill Zariel. And then there was this mad coup I was trying to pull. Like, I had Chris on my side and everything. And then just Chris fucking stabbed me in the back, the bastard. And then I died. I mean,
Tim, I'd pretty much say you're the worst type of player. And I know that because that's the type of player I am.
Yeah, well, that was probably because I didn't really want to play. I was just fucking around at the time. And I didn't get invited back after that, which is fair.
I don't know if you've experienced, Sam, when you're DMing, but like, some players or some people are just really, really difficult to deal with.
What makes them difficult?
I don't know if you want to give any examples, Sam.
Yeah. Are you a difficult player?
I'd like to think not. But there's like 100 different reasons why someone can like be difficult. Like, I guess the big thing is like, I want it my way, not the way of the group. I'm being selfish. I'm doing what I want to do and screw everyone else. I want to do a coup, so I'm going to kill Zariel's character type thing.
I found, as the DM, the most difficult players to deal with were the ones that were hostile to every single NPC.
Just wanted to kill everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Even like NPCs that were friendly, they weren't going to kill you, or they were trying to help you, or they wanted you to do a quest for them or something like that.
Or they're integral to the story.
Yeah, something like that. Or like, they'll encounter like a monster, but the monster is not necessarily going to fight them. They can actually like bargain with it or reason with it and like try and work out a deal, and the monster might help them.
But they immediately go to violence.
But then they immediately are hostile and like they just like insult them and swear at them. And I'm just like, it's not fun for me because there's really only one way to react to that. And that is what? With, yeah. No, fuck you, dude. I'll fucking kill you. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's just like, it's not fun. I'd be like, as the DM, you want to be tested. You want the players to like do something like kind of unique and tricky, or like make a really good argument. You're like, oh, that's a good point. You know what? I'll allow it.
People just want to roll dice, man. They just want to roll dice.
They just love the die, man. They double die. I also love the people that react to situations within their character and not within what they would do. Because, like, for instance, when our friend Chris was playing, Chris Worrell, he was playing a really dumb orc. So he would just do really dumb decisions and then roll for it and then just always miss because he would just be the dumbest motherfucker in the world. But it means, like, because those are the kind of role plays that I like, because I would always find people that they would play and decisions would happen, but then they would react to it like they were playing it instead of the character that they're playing would react, if that makes sense. Mm.
So it's hard to separate yourself.
It is. I would. Character. That's why when I see it and like I see those people actually playing the characters, I'm like, all right, I really like those.
You see those certain type of people who are playing like dumb characters, and when as soon as they realize something dumb they can do, they just got the biggest smirk on their head and they're like, I'm going to fuck over everyone, especially myself. And I'm
because
all about
I'm it. Dumb. Yeah, because I'm real dumb. Like there was one where we had to like jump on these stepping stones over this water because it was like boiling. And then Worrell just jumps into the water. And I was like, oh my God, you fucking dumb piece of shit. And for some reason he kept carrying around, whenever he killed someone, he carried around their head on his like hip. And I was like, you're a sick
guy. Oh yeah, he had like a collection of skulls.
Yeah. He was a fucking gross man.
That guy's got something wrong with him.
He was a dumb auger. Dumb auger. All right, do you want to go to the bucket? We've got 20 minutes. Okay.
Let's get the bucket.
Do you know what the bucket is?
I know what the bucket is. The bucket of assorted questions.
Oh, look at him. He has listened. I'll start. So, people that don't know, we've got a bucket here full of questions, topics, and sentences. We're just pulling one out and starting to go from there.
Fuck yeah.
Do you think, this is directed at Warren, so do you think everyone should reproduce to prolong humanity?
Well, when it's framed like that, if everyone reproduces, that's not going to prolong humanity because we're just going to overpopulate and
not if everyone just has one kid, you know what I mean? So it's just like, well, I suppose the question that I was trying to ask when I wrote it was just like, do you think it's a drive that everyone should have to want to procreate? Like, because it's obviously in the back of your head that it's an instinct that you should reproduce, right? Yeah. But I feel like, and I think you were saying in the last episode, Zah, was just like in some of the other places like Japan or anything like that, their generation's getting older because they just don't want to have sex anymore. And they don't really want to reproduce.
It's not that they don't want to. It's that they're young males. they're like too socially awkward to like actually talk to real girls. And then they find a waifu, like an online girlfriend that isn't real. And then they're... seem to be content with that.
That's right.
And there's less and less young people having sex now.
And communicating.
So that's really interesting. Like the shut-ins of Japan. I saw a documentary on that. It's really kind of interesting.
Japan's a really, really interesting culture.
They have what's called cuddle cafes, where it's kind of like in westernized society, it's a brothel. You go there and you fuck hookers, right?
Oh,
in Japan, they don't have... Well, they probably have brothels, but they have cuddle cafes where you go there and they have girls that work there that you get to cuddle.
So you can't even have sex with them.
Well, that's not the point. They go there just to cuddle because they want that like intimacy. They want that like connection with a girl, I think. And he went there. There was a Docker one and he was like, so is this all you do? Like, do you have a boyfriend? Do you have any like interest? She's like, no, I just do this for money. I'm happy to cuddle. And it was just like really strange.
I mean, not going to lie. I'd cuddle for someone for money. Like, I love cuddling.
Would you pay someone to cuddle?
I wouldn't pay someone to do it, no. Sam, I'll give you mates rates, dude.
Oh, mates rate mates on rates Kim Cuddle. Cuddle.
I've been told I'm a top-notch cuddler, all right? Oh, that's all I'm saying.
So, five-star review.
I'm big in... Yeah, I'm just going to not...
What was the question?
it was. So, basically, do you think everyone should have the responsibility to reproduce? Like, do you think that they should want that to prolong humanity?
I don't think so. I think we live in like almost like a post-need society. It's more of a want society. We're quite rich on resources. I think like the same biological thing could be like back in the day we used to eat everything and try and put on as much fat as we want so that when there's times of like scarcity and lack of resources, we have something to live off. But like in these days, I don't think that kind of exists, and people have their own preferences and choices. And if they don't want to have kids, it's not going to doom society.
What? Yeah,
definitely. I really realized when the COVID pandemic, how fucked we would be if like the food productions and stuff would just ceased. Like, because whenever you see these movies and stuff, all these people, it's hard to find food. And you're like, man, how is that so hard? And then you realize when COVID happened and everything sort of just got disrupted and like all this food was really hard to find, you're like, wow, this is actually our whole society and the way our world is like placed is just like on the knife's edge. Like if one thing fucks up, it fucks up everything.
Yeah.
So it actually opened my eyes a little bit with that. But I agree. I think that I don't think people these days need to sort of have that need to reproduce like it was in the olden days. Like it was, I feel like back in the days, even sort of maybe 15, 20 years ago, it was sort of expected that people would grow up, have a family, get married, all that jazz. But I feel, I don't know if it's just me personally, but I feel like that's going out the window these days.
Yeah. Society has shifted a lot. And you think now, I mean, there's a lot of like, you know, gay couples, there's, you know, trans, infertile people, like they don't necessarily have the ability to procreate. I mean, if just say you're a trans man and you transition to a woman and you're with a straight man, you can't get pregnant. Like you're still, biologically, you don't have like uterus.
Ovaries. Yeah, you don't have ovaries.
Uterus or ovaries. So, you know, I don't think it's a necessity for people, but if people want kids, fuck yeah. But I think a lot of people, it's not something that they care about or they want to do, and that's fine.
And I think at this point in time too, we've got so many people in this world, as Sam said it before, it's just like we're actually at the point of overpopulation. So I feel like if it was the other way around where we're running out of people, I feel like a lot of people would feel more responsibility and more need to then reproduce. But because there's so many people in this world, I'm just like, man, if I don't have kids, it's not going to really affect it. Like, you know what I mean? The only thing it would stop is my lineage. My family would then cease. But I'm like, I don't really care about that.
Yeah, how can the future generation be bold if Tim doesn't reproduce?
I like that little bold insult. I like you, Sam. You can come on the show anytime.
Okay, average advice with Tim, Zara, and Sam. Good, send me
average insults.
And then at the start of the episode, hey, Sam, you notice how Tim's so bold? And you're like, yeah, dude.
Oh, yeah. And then I'll be like, I'll see myself mate, out. I'll see you next week.
Mate, who turned that spotlight on? Oh, sorry, it's just Tim's forehead. all right, guys, I'm just going to go cry.
Yeah, I think we all agree, and we all pretty much have the same thoughts on that one.
Yep, let's go, Zart.
Let's see what we got here. Oh. Okay.
Ooh, another goodie.
What do you consider as the biggest outrage of all time?
Biggest outrage? Can I have an example? What do you mean by that? Like, what do you call us as an outrage? So is it my opinion, what I think?
Yeah, I mean, your opinion. It could be something you think is probably
the biggest injustice, biggest
outrage
or
of all time. You know, you think of like, can't think of any examples. Right now. Holy shit!
Yeah, it's always the way.
Maybe it's too broad. It's too broad.
It's a great
question.
What's
the biggest outrage? Okay, so like, I'm trying to like sort of look at it as like, what grinds my gears?
Yeah. I have a good one.
Okay, go.
The first time they cancelled Futurama.
Dude.
Not the biggest of all time, but that's a fucking outrage.
That was an outrage.
And then they've done it like four, five, six times.
I think that was the funniest is because every single time they brought it back, they did a joke about Fox of how stupid they were. And it was the funniest thing because like I don't think anything's been cancelled as many times as Futurama. Futurama got canceled so many times, and each time it came back with just the best season.
Community's giving it a run. That got canceled pretty much every season.
Community is coming out with a movie. Did you know that?
I did hear that.
That's all they wanted. They wanted 6 seasons and a movie,
as
dude.
As long as they have Donald Glover.
In terms of outrage, I mean, I think you think of things like, you know, genocides of.
Well, yeah. If we're going into that territory,
a little bit of an outrage,
really...
a bit of genocide.
Yeah, it's a bit of an. A little bit of outrage. You think of like, you know, the genocide of native indigenous peoples of particular countries, or, you know,
like
just Australians.
You're suggesting these, and then your one was, yeah, fucking, they cancelled Futurama.
No, but I thought about it a bit more, and I thought, though, those are probably more outrageous than... the thing is, at the time, I feel like seen as an outrage to the people it was happening to, and everyone else was like, oh, this is fine. Well,
it's the same people that are, like, complaining about Twitter and shit now. Like, I don't give a fuck about Twitter. You know, it only affects people that it affects, you know? I've got one, though. I think it's an outrage. This is a two-parter. One, that they're privately own roads. Like, we have to pay tolls and stuff to drive on a road. I think that's a fucking disgrace.
That is an outrage.
And two, those same toll companies, they trick you because if you don't have an account, they'll send you out the toll, and the toll is only $4, but they add on a $15 administration fee. So... But they don't tell you this, but if you grab that and create an online account and transfer that toll, it gets rid of the administration fees. So you could have all these tolls that build up, and all of a sudden you owe like $300, and then you transfer all those tolls onto your account and you owe like $10. And I think that's an utter disgrace.
Gosh.
Utter disgrace.
I did Sam? Not know that.
Yeah, it's gross, right? It's gross.
I mean,
yeah, do it though.
From just quick thinking, like, my biggest outrage is probably something we've touched on so far, in the fact that so many people, like, for their own greed, let fucking global warming get to where it was. Because, like, as we said earlier, what we've known for like 30 plus years, and no one's really listened. And now we got to the point where it's like, oh, cool, everywhere's flooding and on fire. Nice.
Oh, I've gotten to the point now where I don't believe anyone's going to listen. Like, it's gotten so long now, and like, the conversation is not really a conversation or a debate anymore. It's just like, they said this, you said this, you're doing this, I don't believe you, you don't believe me.
It's like,
it's just he said, she said, and I don't see it ever changing, because I know you want to say something, Zal, but just
I'm waiting.
Well, you know, like, because all the climate people, unfortunately, they're putting so much, all their protests and demonstrations that they do to it, like, you know, they lie in front of city walks, or they block a friggin' tunnel or something like that, those where they're trying to disturb the peace to try to show what their fight is for, I think they're actually detrimenting to the climate change movement, because people are just hating them, and if they hate them, they're not going to believe what they believe. So I don't know, I just don't see it going well, you know.
Yeah, it's fair. And
another reason why I don't have kids, like,
you know, and it's so annoying when you have like debates on like TV or something. It's like, we'll hear from both sides. It's like, no, why are we hearing from the opposition of it? They don't have any, like, there's no, you know, substantial evidence from their side. They're just spouting their nonsense because they're being paid out, or they work in the mining industry, or they work in the fossil fuel industry, and they just want to object to the science. It's like, they shouldn't be given any time, you know?
I agree with your point. I understand why you think that. But at the same time, like, obviously you need to give them a voice. Otherwise, we won't be able to have a voice. Because I'm like, I'm a believer of free speech, right? Everyone can have their opinion. Because I think that people with the wrong opinion, when they voice it, the community then would then ideally, you know, bounce back on whatever they're saying. And then they would then either change their tune.
Unfortunately, does not happen,
yeah,
Tim.
Doesn't very optimistic that way, but... of
that's
you.
A very optimistic view. And the people that believe in climate change not being, you know, real, or not being influenced by men, will hear the other side and go, yes, they're completely right, and I agree, and the other side is all lunatics.
But at the same time, if we just broadcast like the science, right, the climate change science, then... are we not giving other people the opportunity to have their own opinion, even if their opinion's wrong? I don't know. I just don't like the idea of spoon feeding people. You know what I mean? I want people to be able to come up with their own logical decisions by just seeing the facts. And the fact of the matter is, when most of the time when they're speaking of climate change, the facts are always on the pro side. Like, I just don't understand how anyone is arguing against it these days. Especially when, like a couple of years ago, they were saying, like, if we don't get on this, we're going to start having crazy wildfires, crazy floods, all these, like, severe weather storms. And then literally everyone was like, yeah, fuck off. And then, like, at the end of that year, Australia was on fire for, like, 6 months. Like, and then it was underwater for another 3 months. Like, it's actually insane what's been going on.
There's a lot of double downing of people.
What do you mean?
Well, like, if they're told something, no, that's not right. And then more information comes and they're like, no, I'm still going to say what I said. Yeah, because...
yeah, they have to save face then. Because I think it was Elon Musk said it.
Their ego is attached to their belief and they can't let it go because it's damaging.
I'm pretty sure Elon Musk said it's
emotional damage.
Elon Musk said once, he's just like, the bet that we're wrong about climate change is the stupidest bet in all world. Because it's like, if we're wrong that climate change doesn't exist, happy days. Nothing really happens. You know what I mean?
It's like, oh, sweet. But we don't have to worry.
Happy days. But if we're wrong about that, or if we're right about climate change and we do nothing,
we're fucked.
Yeah. So wouldn't we want to do the thing that's we're going to survive either way? Like, that's just a common logic in my mind.
Wonder if the arguments against it as well is people don't want to accept it because it's scary.
It is scary.
And, like, you know, obviously there's people that will disagree because they've, like, got ties with the industry, or they're getting paid out, or they just can't understand, you know, how to interpret evidence. Mm-hmm. And then people that don't want to believe it because they are too afraid to believe it. Yeah. They don't want to accept that we're fucking up the world and we're, you know, it's getting hotter and, you know, it might cause devastation down the line. It is pretty scary to, like, accept that.
And also, I think also the fact that it's not something that your actions, you can't, like, see it having an effect. Mm. And I feel like humans are one of those people that are like, if we can't see a problem, like, in our eyes, we don't really, it's not that we don't believe that it exists. We just don't sort of, we don't really care. We don't have empathy over that problem because, you know, we can't see the effects of it. Say, for instance, if we saw every single time we poured a glass, we saw, like, a creek go lower or something in, like, Africa or something like that, we would be way more cautious on pouring those glasses because we can see the effects that it's having. But the fact is, when we pour the glass, we can't see the effects. We don't really care as much. Even though all these people are pointing them out, until it starts affecting us personally, it doesn't really sink in that what's happening. And that's the same with climate change, because it's such a big picture that when you see the day-to-day stuff that you have to do, it doesn't really make sense because you're like, how is this affecting that? And I feel like that's the same. And also, people just don't like change. When we come in with these new rules, we come in with all these new things that we have to do. People are like, what do you mean? I've been doing this for years. So I don't want to fucking change my shit. Yeah. And it's just like, people just fight against change.
That's a good point. And, like, I've even heard people say, like, why should Australia do anything about climate change in comparison to, like, China? We're only, like, a blip in the world. So it's like, you can really, like, really compartmentalize and make your situation feel small. But, like, just because that's the case doesn't mean that we should, as a single person, try to be better.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
We only produce, you know, 5 trillion tons of CO2 compared to China's 30 trillion tons or whatever. Yeah. We didn't have to do anything about it.
Yeah, China's not doing anything. We're fucked anyway, so why should we?
Exactly.
It's
a bad
mentality.
I feel like also some of these arguments too of like the anti-oil and anti-petrol and pro climate change people, their arguments are saying, like, we need to stop oil now, like, stop oil production now. And I'm like, look, I understand why they want to say that, but unfortunately, that's just not how the world works. Like, the world currently runs on fossil fuels, and we can't stop that immediately. We need to get to the point where... Yeah, go on.
I heard the other day from, I think it was Gavin, or maybe it was my granddad, one of those two, and they're pretty, like, up to date with, like, current events and affairs and stuff like that.
Mm. I mean, Gavin's a uni lecturer. He has to be.
Yeah, and they think that they mentioned that there's a recent bit of scientific work that had happened recently where they were actually able to produce they made nuclear reactions. Like, they were able to
Nuclear fusion.
Fusion. Yeah, so they were actually able to make nuclear fusions in a laboratory setting. They could just create it. Like, they could just...
I thought didn't they already do that with, like, the Hadron Collider? I thought that was the whole point of the Hadron Collider.
Oh, I don't know if it's, like, they were using resources already there, but now they actually can just take the hydrogen out of the air and just create a reaction, essentially unlimited energy with no waste. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I haven't looked into it, and this was my terrible recap. Sounds like what they...
Yeah, it sounds science fiction.
Average recap.
I mean, if this is a legit thing that's just happened, and if this is legit, that's exciting, because it's like unlimited energy,
perpetual
no
energy,
wastage.
Yeah. Perpetual motion. But
can you imagine if this starts to become a thing, and it's like, oh, look, we can do all this, and then there's all these, like, fossil fuel industry people going, oh, it's all lies, they don't know how to do that, their science is false, they can't do it. And you could, like, show them, and they'd be like, no, you can't do it. And it's like,
but
it's like,
I don't understand how they can have how can they have a nuclear fusion with no waste? Like, wouldn't the waste be, like, be emanating from with heat? Wouldn't that waste go to heat?
I don't know, man. I don't know, man.
This You're the scientist in this team, bro.
I'm not a physicist. What the fuck?
Hey, you went to uni. How do you not know science, bro? Oh,
you were the expert here, you're the expert.
My PhD in nuclear physics. Like, oh, sorry, I don't know.
Sorry,
Tim.
You don't understand. I'm the comedian of the team. You're the scientist. You need to know all the science stuff.
Well, you know, you should be funnier then, Tim.
Oh, it's like that, huh? It's like that.
And we're going to end the episode there. That's great.
Yeah. I have to go cry, fucking draw some fringe on my forehead.
But yes, I'm going to look it up. I recommend you guys look it up. Viewers, look that shit up. If that's a thing,
yeah, we'll talk about it next episode.
That's exciting.
We'll bring it up next episode. No, but it has been an hour and 2 minutes. That went really fast. I had, like, this whole list of things that I like was going to go. I went to, like, one of them.
Let's see where it goes.
He's with us. What was that? What did you say?
Me?
Yeah.
I said, that's the way it goes, man. That's the way it goes.
Oh. Mate, when you're having fun, dude. When you're having fun.
Oh, with two average blokes like you, how can you not have fun?
No, this was a really fun episode. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. Thanks for coming on, boy.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for having me, boys.
We shall see everyone next week, and stay average. Have a little
average.
Bye.
Average.
Bye.